Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
There is an expression that dates all the way back to the 16th century. A perspective that has been discussed and that has been debated over the years. An expression that some people have lived their lives believing while others have rejected that perspective altogether. And it is the belief that if something sounds too good to be true, then it probably is not true. And whether we agree with that belief or not, we cannot deny the fact that many times many of us have been deceived. We have been deceived by the media. We've been deceived by our leaders. We've been deceived by opportunities online, deceived by people knocking at our door. Or we have been deceived by those who were closest to us in our lives. And as bad as these things may be, what is far more deceitful, what is far more dangerous than all of these things is the deadly deception of Satan, who is the enemy of our soul, whose deception can have eternal consequences as he attempts to deceive us and to convince us and to lead us away from salvation in Christ and into an eternity of suffering. But what is more amazing is that we who belong to Jesus Christ, we who have the truth of the Word of God, we who have the Spirit of God living within us, many times we are also deceived by Him. Many times we are tossed around by the wind and by the waves of things that seem to be true, but in reality, they have no foundation in the truth of the Word of God. And throughout the history of the church, the most damaging attacks against the people of God have not been from those outside of the church. They have come from within the church by those who claim to have the truth, by those who claim to speak the truth. And sadly, many times those of us within the church had not had the discernment. We have not had the discernment to know if what we are being taught is the truth or if it is a lie. And so we have been led away from the simplicity and from the purity of devotion to Christ. And in the passage of scripture that is before us today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7 through 15, the apostle Paul presents a contrast between those who humbly and who lovingly, but who decisively proclaim the truth, and those who in their pride deceptively proclaim their lies. Unlike those false teachers who had come into the church in Corinth and who had demanded money for their work there, when Paul arrived in the city of Corinth, he did not ask for, nor did he accept any money from the people there. And you know, those false teachers tried to use that against Paul. Because in the Greek culture at that time, philosophers and teachers and orators who made a living by their skills charged a fee for their services. And the better that they were at what they did, the more that they expected to be paid. So by not accepting money for his teaching, these false apostles claimed that Paul was not worth anything at all. Well, now a preacher of the gospel, Paul, had the right to be supported in the work that he was doing for the Lord, as he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, does a soldier serve at his own expense? Does a farmer not eat of the fruit of the vineyard? Does a shepherd not drink of the milk of the flock? Even an ox is left unmuzzled so that while he is threshing out the grain, he can eat. So Paul points out, if we have sowed spiritual things among you, is it too much to expect material things from you? But, he says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I wanted to differentiate myself from all of the other teachers who came before me and from those who would follow after me, so that the truth of the gospel would stand alone. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself by working with my hands to support myself, so that you might be exalted, hupasao in Greek, so you might be lifted up out of the darkness of your sin and brought into the light of Christ, so that you might be removed from the domain of Satan and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God. That is why I preach the gospel of God to you without charge, so that nothing would hinder the message and get in the way of your salvation. So in a sense, he says in verse 8, I rob other more established churches. Soulao in Greek. It's a very specific military term. He says, it was like I took the armor off of a dead soldier. How? He said, by taking wages from other churches. Opsonian in Greek, by taking rations and provisions from them, by receiving financial assistance from them, even though they themselves were in deep poverty. And they were in great distress. The churches in the region of Macedonia, in the northern part of Greece, gave more than their share with the little that they had. So in their poverty, they overflowed with liberality. Paul says, I did this so that I might be able to serve all of you in the region of Achaia, in the southern part of Greece. And in addition to that, when I was present with you, he says in verse 9, and when I was in need, hustereo in Greek, when I came up short, even in the basic necessities of life, I was not a burden to you. I wasn't a burden to anyone there, katanarkao in Greek. I was not dead weight. For when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia with that gift, particularly from the church in the city of Philippi. They fully supplied my need by adding to my provisions. And so in everything, I kept myself from being a burden to you. And I will continue to do so, Paul says, so that I might continue to have the opportunity to fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given to me among you. And this I say, that as the truth of Christ is in me, both in my words and in my life, as I speak to you in the sight of God, this boasting of mine, Paul says in verse 10, concerning the gospel which has been given to you free of charge, this practice will not be stopped in the region of Achaia. You ask why I did not ask for financial support from you? Was it because I do not value our relationship in Christ? Was it because I do not love you? If you do not know the answer to that question, ask God. He knows the answer. He knows that I do love you. He knows my motives. He knows my heart. So what I am doing, I will continue to do. Unlike those false teachers who were among the congregation in Corinth, Paul says, I will ask nothing from you. I will place no financial burden upon you, so that I may cut off, ekapto in Greek, so I might frustrate them, so that I might remove the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in this matter. We will continue to differentiate ourselves from them in the thing about which they are boasting. What were they boasting about? That they had a ministry in Corinth. Their pride, their greed would reveal who they really were. They are not apostles, Paul says, as they claim to be. They're not apostles of Christ, but such men are false apostles, he says in verse 13. Pseudapostolos in Greek. They are counterfeit messengers. They're deceitful workers. Daleas in Greek. They are liars who are setting a trap for you and who are leading you away from Christ. They are empty talkers who are disguising themselves, he says, metasha matidso in Greek. They are changing their appearance like chameleons. They're hiding behind the illusion of their lies. They're masquerading as apostles of Christ, claiming to bring the light, while in reality, they bring only darkness, while hiding behind their clever sounding words. And no wonder this is true. Paul says in verse 14, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Just like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, who gave the impression that he was enlightening Eve with the truth, but he spoke lies. Therefore, Paul concludes in verse 15, it is not surprising if his servants, who are all around us, and who sometimes are even among us, it is not too much to believe, is it, that they also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness while they attempt to lead us into the pit of hell with their words that are as smooth as butter and as soft as oil, but in reality, they are drawn swords that they hope to use to cut us to pieces. But do not fear. Do not be deceived, Paul tells us. In the end, they will be held accountable. And their eternal punishment will be according to their wicked deeds. God is testing us. He is testing us to see if we will stand up for the truth. So as it says in 1 Timothy 6:12, we must fight the good fight for the faith. We must fight for the truth. It is not too good to be true. We can be saved from the wrath to come through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.